Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's one common thread, it might be that men perceive church as too feminine.
We have to be aggressive in the world when it's appropriate. We are warriors.
1, 2, 3. Warriors!
You are a real man when you commit to study God's word and you commit to being conformed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the biblical perspective on being a man.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Jimmy, what season is it?
Summer. What?
This is... Here I was using my senses. I'm sweating a lot. It seems like it's summer. Yeah. You're wrong. It's gender season. You say, what exactly is a gender season? It's a period during the year where you feel more like one gender than another. And if this does not cause you to have your guts moved, not sure what will. Jesus seeing the children of Israel scattered, they were dispirited, they were downcast, utterly confused about, well, pretty much everything. Okay, maybe not quite as confused as we appear to be today, but Jesus saw these people who were rudderless, who were confused, hopeless, purposeless, and his guts were moved. And ours should be too, because this is just tragic what we are seeing before our very eyes. Young people are now identifying as gender season. So their genders change with the time of year. One of these individuals, according to the Daily Mail, saying, I feel more masculine in the summer. Lost. Hurting. Perhaps identifying as one gender in summer, another in the fall. So in other words, your gender is basically like a wardrobe. Last night, spent some time with Dr. Andrew Walker. He's in from Southern Sem. He's the ethics guru there. He was delivering lectures on how to build Christian ethics. And he shared an example of how we can perhaps possibly find some sort of common ground with people in an effort to show them there's a better way, that there is a higher way, that Christianity offers something that isn't just a clamoring voice in the marketplace. No, we've got something so good for you in every regard, eternally, spiritually, morally, all available to you through Jesus Christ. And he shared the scene of a woman with her baby who had been crying, which she picked up and she put in her arms and just tenderly lulled into calmness. And then she stares into her child's eyes and the child looks up and glows and beams with a reflection of mom in her eyes. Is that a good scene or a bad scene? Even our unbelieving friends would say, well, that's a good thing, all right? How's about same mom, same child who cries and mom just shakes the child? Would you say that that's a good thing or it's a bad thing? Hopefully they would agree. I think they would. And there's a reason for that. There are things built into the fabric of the universe that we have agreement on. Some things are good. Some things are lovely. Some things are worthy of praise. Some things are tragic. So now my question for you, my unbelieving friend, is how does your worldview account for those decisions, those verdicts, those judgment calls you made on what is lovely and what is wicked? You don't have a worldview that accounts for those things. Let me share with you how Christianity helps you to make sense of reality and the world around you, because it does explain reality, and it does explain why a mom rocking her baby is good and shaking her baby is wicked. May I share that with you? And maybe, just maybe, we could use that same sort of approach, perhaps, with people who are confused about their genders to the degree where they think that it can change with the seasons. maybe asking them, do you think it's good that people are able to swap what they think they are because the thermometer changes? Does that really sound like a life that is going to be constant, consistent, and not dangerous? Furthermore, what do you think would make more sense? If an individual who is confused about their gender, they went about the business of injecting a lot of hormones, then using the knife to remove body parts, to use other body parts to create what we hope would be new body parts, or would it be better for that individual to become comfortable in their own skin? And I wonder if maybe we might be able to at least show them that some things are better than others, and we actually do agree on these things. So rather than going to war again, which certainly we can do with the transgender issue, how's about perhaps to the degree that you can try to find some commonality without it being such an explosive conversation? An individual writing for Fox, this wasn't a report. That's normally what you see in Fox News, that they do a report on somebody who detransitioned. Well, not in this instance. They actually let this young lady write. Her name is Prisha Mosley. I began gender transition at 16. This is the headline. I was lied to in a terrible way. And then the article begins. My name is Prisha. I'm a 25-year-old woman and detransitioner. Since childhood, I've struggled with my mental health. As is the case for many girls, my teen years were particularly difficult. This is very well documented. It is puberty that is typically, not always, but typically the time where such confusion begins, she continues. At age 14, I suffered from a sexual assault. This young girl was damaged. She was abused and confused because of it. We can get that, can't we? At age 15, I was hospitalized for depression. By age 16, I was diagnosed with major depressive disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, and an eating disorder. I engaged in self-harm by cutting myself, which became so serious I was taken to the emergency room. And guess what the doctor's solution was? We've got to alter your body, not your thinking, your body. Starting when I was 16 and through my young adult years, doctors and counselors set me on a path of medicalized gender transition. They told me changing my body to look like a boy's body would cure my mental health problems. Does that even make sense to anybody? That somehow an altercation of the external would change and improve the internal? Look, I get it. You could argue, well, sure, sometimes that actually has an impact. And I don't think I'd argue that. You get an article of clothing and it's like you put it on, you go, hey, kind of good, but that's just an immediate temporary feeling. That doesn't change your psyche. That just maybe gives you a little bit of joy in the moment. Cutting off body parts to calm your eating disorder, your obsessive compulsive disorder, your depressive disorder, that ain't science in my book. They told me injecting large amounts of testosterone into my female body would be good for me. I would say those people are evil and they shouldn't be practicing medicine, and I wouldn't let my children near them with a 100-yard pole. That's just evil. It caused significant, I don't want to get into it, but she can no longer be intimate, which means having a baby is going to be a challenge. Breastfeeding is not going to happen. I have severe pain in my shoulders, neck, and, well, pretty much everywhere else. I'm unable to nurse. Should I be able to conceive one? I have pain where I had my self altered on top. That's what happened to this confused, hurt, broken young lady. There's a difference between those who campaign for evil and those who fall prey and victim to it. And this is one of those young ladies. There are many teenagers out there struggling with their mental health like I was. They need to be supported, not given sterilizing medications that have their body parts then removed. Grateful, she summoned up the courage to share that. What do we do with it? Maybe, perhaps, possibly, in discussing these issues with our unbelieving friends, we can simply paint a picture for them. Which picture is prettier? Mutilating of somebody confused or jumping in and helping somebody who is confused so that they can think rightly and live joyfully? Then, of course, you can explain where that worldview came from. And maybe, just maybe, more people might be persuaded and more people might actually, I don't know, get saved. This is Wretched Radio.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside-down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Well, if you're looking for a way to enhance your spiritual growth, let me point you in the direction of our video resources and MP3s that are available in the Wretched store at wretched.org. That's wretched.org. Video series like Transformed and Road Trip to Truth, Terrified 2, and others offer visual and engaging ways to understand and apply biblical principles. And for those who prefer audio while you're driving to and from work, we have collections that cover a range of topics from theology to practical Christian living, and we make learning easy on the go. These resources are perfect for your personal spiritual growth. You can also use them in group studies or in church. Each product is designed to be both doctrinally sound and practically applicable. So just visit the Wretched store right now at wretched.org, browse our video and audio resources, and equip yourself with tools you need to help you navigate this brave new world we're living in. You can shop right now at wretched.org. That's wretched.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 64 AD. After fire ravages Rome, Emperor Nero blames Christians and unleashes the first state-sanctioned persecution of Christians. Roman persecution would continue for 250 years until Emperor Constantine officially recognized and defended Christianity. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Are you having a good Pride Month? This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, what are you doing to celebrate the Pride Month?
Oh, so much.
there's so much.
Oh, yeah.
And so much time dedicated to what our society has always understood to be not natural. Anybody should be able to look at reality and come to some conclusions. And historically, we've been able to do that. Furthermore, the Bible, widely accepted as a reliable source of morality by most, not necessarily submitted to, it makes it very clear. There are some acts that are natural and other acts that are not natural. And we have moved from generally recognizing that to embracing it for a month. A month. A month. Christmas is a day. We memorialize soldiers for a day. Presidents, a day. And Pride Month? Wow, does that speak about our Romans 1 society? There are now a lot of efforts to persuade you that that lifestyle is indeed natural. We have been observing here, and no doubt shared many of these over the last several years, that we've noticed an awful lot of effort, whether it's a Netflix or a Discovery Channel or a National Geographic piece, all of the effort that is going into researching animal sexual behavior. And the reports are, hey, look, those monkeys, they're gay too. What is going on? Recently, like within the last couple of days, read an article. It said it was something along the lines of giraffes are way gayer than anybody thought. Because the males, you know, they do the neck thing. And the sociologist, I believe it was some sort of psychologist, animal psychologist, whatever, that said, hey, they're not trying to hurt each other, so they're literally necking. Therefore, that behavior is gay. It's just staggering to me. The world, and ourselves included, by the way, we are so baked in thinking that any sort of display of affection for somebody of the same gender is automatically erotic. They can't comprehend a David and Jonathan kind of love. They can't imagine that two men might actually like one another, maybe even love one another, and it not be sexual. That's how baked we are in this. And it dawned on me as I was reading this article, they're trying to override natural law. That's what they're attempting to do. That's a good summary. I've said things like that without recognizing the column that they're trying to deconstruct, and that is natural law. You can call it common sense if you want. You can call it observations where we generally agree this is the way that it ought to be. And if you don't want to submit to those ought-to-bes, what do? You tear down anybody who says you can't. And there are there any more than two? I can only think of two, let's call them institutions, or two groups that might put the kibosh on your desire to live any way that you want to. And one, of course, would be Christianity. The other one would be natural law. Even the Bible identifies natural law. Romans chapter 1, that there's some behavior that's natural and behavior that's not. It makes sense. Boy parts, girl parts, procreation, the joys of that union. That makes sense. So if that makes sense, basically, and you don't want to fit into that paradigm, what do? Well, you got to break it down, James Brown, and that is what they're doing with all of these supposed scientific studies in the animal world. They are trying to undermine natural law because they can't deny it. It's just, yeah, you kind of need that. We can't walk around punching each other in the nose. We generally get that. It would be disorderly. But if you want to walk around punching everybody in the nose and you know that everybody knows that it's not good to hit you in the nose, what are you going to do? Well, you can try to persuade them that their morals are wrong, but it's pretty difficult because it's so obvious. So what do you do then? You alter their understanding of what they're perceiving. Oh, you think it's unnatural. Look at those giraffes. You think it's unnatural. Look at the monkeys. See the two boys picking bugs off of each other? Clearly, nature testifies that this sort of behavior is good. And so we've dedicated now a month to celebrating what natural law, common sense, and most certainly the Bible says is wrong. Greg Kokel, Mr. Stand to Reason, just wrote an article that might help you navigate this month dedicated to sin, which is what it is. How I respond to Pride Month. And he talks about basically two realms where you could perhaps apply this for yourself. One is just in the public realm, going out to places, seeing the signs, the messaging. Well, first option for Greg is ignore it. Just Christian, I think it was Breakpoint, was writing about the collapse of mainline Protestantism. Less than 10% of Americans now identify as being mainline Protestant. In other words, we're on the periphery. I'm not talking about evangelicals, mainline Protestant. So mainline Protestantism is no longer a dominant force in society. It's been relegated. It's over there. And we find ourselves now in the majority. And his observation, by the way, was super interesting when he said, it's not because we lost the culture war. It's because we imbibed the culture. We brought the culture into the church and then capitulated. I think it was Andrew Walker who said something along the lines of many times theologians, they don't become theological heretics who are then perhaps immoral. It's their morals that go, and then they alter their heresy to affirm their sin, which is often true, isn't it? And so mainline Protestants have done that. They brought all of those ideas. Okay, that's the way you think, world. We think that too. And now look at the results of this. Mainline Protestantism, less than 9%. You can ignore what is going on out there as an option. You don't have to get consternated by it. You need to recognize we're just living in a different country. Now, please, I'm not looking to have a conversation about how to affect change, whether we should give up, what we should do. I'm just saying this is the reality. We are the periphery now. And we need to understand we are strangers living in a strange land. Now, how we respond, different conversation. But maybe it's helpful to recognize, okay, I'm basically living in Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm basically living in Tyre and Sidon. It's more godless than it is Christian. Number two, don't patronize the places. If it just gets up your nose, don't bother going into them. I would offer a third that Greg did not. When you see them, speak about them. Now, you can figure out how to do that and what the risks of it might be. But I think this is one of the small things that we can all do. You walk by the sign in the window, and rather than just ignoring it, passing by it, or not patronizing it, you could actually say, isn't it a tragedy that we're celebrating sin? But what about in the workplace? Here's Greg Kokel's advice, because there's a whole lot of pressure to participate. School, too. Hopefully this will assist you in responding rightly. First, I would decline to participate, writes Greg. If I'm asked to show support for pride, any of these aberrant ideologies, I would politely decline. Would you mind asking someone else? I don't think I would be the best person for the job. You know what? I think I'm going to do that instead. Thanks for the offer. Number two, if they insist you participate, My response would be more direct and reveal my reasoning. I would say, I don't want to participate in something that violates my conscience. I would like to be excused from this. Or, why do I have to adopt your policies to work here? He recognizes it could get you in trouble. There could be a cost to it. Third, if the employer or school threatens you with disciplinary action, the situation, it's getting serious. I'd consider either appealing your case to a higher level of leadership, incurring the consequences, or taking legal action. Isn't it amazing that we're actually having to come up with principles for responding to a celebration of sin? That's where we are. And if you haven't thought it through yet, I suspect a lot of evangelicals are just like, well, am I supposed to go to work? Why do I do all these? Well, then we better start thinking about it lickety split. This is Wretched Radio.